anything that wasn't related to it, but I had come to think that I was different. And now, racked with sobs, I was forced to acknowledge too late, much too late, that I too had loved, that I was capable of suffering, and that I was human after all. I felt as if this pain would never be appeased, that it had me in its grip forever, that it would prevent me from devoting myself to anything else, and that I was allowing it to do so. I think that that is what they call being consumed with remorse. I would no longer be able to get up, think, or even cook my food, and I would let myself slowly waste away. I was deriving a sort of morbid pleasure from imagining myself giving in to despair when the physical pain returned. It was so sudden and so acute that it distracted me from the mental pain. I found this abrupt swing from one to the other funny. And there I was, I, who, not surprisingly, never laugh, doubled up in agony and laughing. When the pain abated, I wondered whether I had ever laughed before. The women often used to laugh, and I believe I had sometimes joined in, but I was unsure. I realized then that I never thought about the past. I lived in a perpetual present, and I was gradually forgetting my story. At first, I shrugged, telling myself that it would be no great loss, since nothing had happened to me, but soon I was shocked by that thought. After all, if I was a human being, my story was as important as that of King Lear or of Prince Hamlet that William Shakespeare had taken the trouble to relate in detail. I made the decision almost without realizing it. I would do likewise. Over the years, I'd learned to read fluently. Writing is much harder, but I've never been daunted by obstacles. I do have paper and pencils, although I may not have much time. Now that I no longer go off on expeditions, no occupation calls me, so I decided to start at once. I went into the cold store, took out the meat that I would eat later, and left it to defrost, so that when hunger struck, my food would soon be ready. Then I sat down at the big table and began to write. As I write these words, my tale is over. Everything around me is in order, and I have fulfilled the final task I set myself. It only took me a month, which has perhaps been the happiest month of my life. I do not understand that. After all, what I was describing was only my strange existence, which hasn't brought me much joy. Is there a satisfaction in the effort of remembering that provides its own nourishment? And is what one recollects less important than the act of remembering? That is another question that will remain unanswered. I feel as though I am made of nothing else. As far back as I can recall, I have been in the bunker. Is that what they mean by memories? On the few occasions when the women were willing to tell me about their past, their stories were full of events, comings and goings, men. But I am reduced to calling a memory the sense of existing in the same place, with the same people, and doing the same things. In other words, eating, excreting, and sleeping. For a very long time, the days went by, each one just like the day before. Then I began to think, and everything changed. Before, nothing happened other than this repetition of identical gestures, and time seemed to stand still, even if I was vaguely aware that I was growing and that time was passing. My memory begins with my anger. Obviously, I have no way of knowing how old I was. The others had been adult for a long time, whereas I appeared to be prepubescent. But my development stopped there. I started to get hair under my arms and on my pubes. My breasts grew a little, and then everything came to a halt. I never had a period. The women told me I was lucky, that I wouldn't have the bother of bleeding.